Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. We're here live at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. And I'm blessed to have these beautiful co-hosts, these exceptional co-hosts of mine, Sasha Petersa.
Hi.
You are an amazing TV and movie star, but I was just so excited about your new business, Hippie Water.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure it'll do even better than Shark Boy and Lava Girl or whatever the name that was. I keep teasing her. And of course, Stefano Sinacropi. He's an author, a speaker, but he's also, as a hobby, done 10,000 spine surgeries. One of the world's leading spine surgeons. Thanks for joining us.
No, I appreciate it. I don't think I've been called beautiful since I was 3 days old. So nice. I really do appreciate that, Dave.
You are beautiful. And of course, speaking of beautiful, look next to you, to the right and to the left, of course, we have our anchor woman, Leah Notariani, and she has Glory Jewelry.
Yeah.
And that, I love the name, by the way.
Thank you so much.
And since I have three daughters and a wife, I'm sure I'll be one of your bigger customers.
We love that.
You got it. My credit card is yours.
Thank you.
Here on Office Hours. Speaking of credit cards, look at that smile.
Yeah.
Our friend Kenny Stoddard is in the house. He is an executive coach, public speaker, but get this, founder of Iron Mind Advisors.
Yes.
Welcome to Office Hours, Kenny.
It is great to be on Office Hours with you, David. I appreciate it.
You know, mindset is so important because the meaning we give our past, it actually is what allows us to grow. Mm-hmm. So many people limit themselves by the meaning that they give, the setbacks, the failures, the mistakes, the defining moments, even historical relevance is, as you see today, people will limit not only their self-image, which you never can overachieve your own self-image, but one of the biggest travesties is they limit their own imaginations. And if you look at the super successful people up here with me, they're all extremely imaginative. They would not be where they were if they weren't imagining something bigger, brighter, or better for themselves, even when the evidence wasn't there or contrary to where they want to be. For you, you take it a step farther. You are not only an Iron Man, participating in over 10 Iron Man competitions and other competitions, but you are truly an iron mind. For you, what does that mean to be an iron mind?
Well, the iron mind means that there is a fourth discipline, if you will. When they talk about triathlon, you talk about swimming and biking and running. But the biggest muscle
legs,
is
the, by the way,
the biggest muscle is the
for a long time
is right up here, the brain. And you know, without the mental side of that, I don't think anybody finishes a triathlon with any dignity. It can get ugly fast. But more importantly, the iron mind is just like you mentioned with your panel, thinking outside the box, innovation. For me, it was, you know, at the downside of my rock bottom, if you will, I decided to switch careers after 27 years in cybersecurity, went back to school to get my master's in mental health so that I could help others. And so, you know, at my age, we're using age as my advantage, where I've got years of experience in the career of executive sales and traveling. But now that mission has changed, and it's to giving back to others that are struggling the way I did. I received a lot of help during my downtimes, and it was life-changing. And that's why I'm here today, is because I'm speaking about that change, that transformation that I went through personally, and then teaching others how to do the same from a coaching perspective. And then when I speak to people, I tell my story that is designed to be inspirational, of course, but at the same time, there's so many lessons that I put in there because it's what I lived. It's my life story. Initially, it was tough to talk about because there was definitely some ups and downs. Now it's great to talk about because I really do focus on the ups, the positives, the future, let alone, you know, I don't forget the past, but I use the past as lessons. And that's what my coaching business is built around, the identity phase of learning what the root cause of people's challenges are, what they're facing, and then diving into it from there. And it's been an amazing change for me that's allowed a new lease on life. Giving back to people is just wonderful. So found my natural calling, got away from the software side of things, and doing the coaching and speaking on a regular basis now is just fantastic. So
Sasha, I'm sure it's hard for you to identify with having ups and downs in your career as an actress and an entrepreneur. But try to put yourself in a position right. where you actually so, got yeah. rejected oh God, or failed so in something when you talk to
one of the Kenny. Biggest lessons, I mean, with acting is, yeah, accepting rejection and understanding mm-hmm. that you get rejected more than anything else. But
well, you could also look at my dating career before I got married.
yeah, but that's where I got run.
My grades.
I was going to say, you that's get a home all, run.
It only out. Matters when, you're, mine. When you're right at the
one,
end.
One, right? You, yeah.
I
all takes is one.
Want to give you credit for that career change because it's not easy. But I think my question for you is actually about the switch. And I have a lot of health issues. I have PCOS and epilepsy, and I've very publicly gone through my health journey in my career. And one of the most freeing things for me was getting to the point where I wasn't hiding it anymore and I was talking about it. With your switch and your motivation to essentially do it to help people, what was that moment for you where you decided that everything that you had been through was actually your power and not your Achilles heel?
Well, just like you said, I hid from my true identity for years. My story started with, you know, a high school situation where I got expelled, kicked off the hockey team. Again, I don't want to let very embarrassing moment for my family. It took me. So for the next 25, 30 years, I was on this. I'll show them mission. I call it wearing the cape. So I wore the Superman cape. Everybody thought Kenny was doing great. I looked great on the outside. I was an athlete. I was an executive, successful. But on the inside, I was struggling terribly. When I finally took that cape off and didn't have to hide, like you said, I became my true self. That's what kind of steered me in the direction of career pivoting. Number one, I did not want to get back into the same game that I was, that kind of tested me to the limits, if you will. I was traveling all over the world. I'm trying to continually keep up with year after year, quota after quota. And, you know, when I was during my recovery process, I was asked, because I was naturally approached by so many people just nonchalantly about giving them help. And then I got asked by a therapist if I ever thought about getting into the helping industry, if you will. And I said, well, I can't do that. I'm 49 years old at the time, and I've been in cybersecurity my whole career. I can't go be a therapist. Well, I was quickly reminded or informed that that's not the case. I had already had a master's degree, which is a qualification to get into school. So I jumped on the opportunity and I looked into it. And now I'm in my final semester at Liberty University, which has been an incredible experience. I'm going to be a licensed mental health counselor here in the short term, but it's just a component of my coaching business. It's my desire to continue to learn. A part of my clarity and my recovery is this desire, burning desire to continually get better, but with boundaries. It's not chasing the Ironman finish lines anymore. That's extreme. Great experience. I loved it, but it occupies so much of your life that now it's time to put boundaries into that. And that's what I'm doing. So the change has been amazing because it's amazed me. I never thought that here I am, you know, I'm going to be starting my PhD program here in a little bit. This is life-changing for me. I never thought I was capable of it, but now I know I am. And really just building off of that energy from being able to get, you know, back into the education game, giving back to others has been, like I said, it's been life-changing and really joyous.
I mean, your story is really, inspirational to me. And one of the things that, you know, you talked about is that, you know, wearing that Superman cape for a long time. And, you know, I've been a surgeon for a long time, for 20 years. One of the things that's really bothered me about the, you know, just kind of being a physician, but just watching a lot of my colleagues is they tend to wear that Superman cape for a long time, but yet their life just passes by. Okay. And they have no time. They're not really building true wealth. Their health starts to fail because they always have to be the hero, all the time. And so, you know, in that light, you know, I've put together something that we're launching, a mastermind called the Sovereign Provider Mastermind, which is really for healthcare professionals to come and learn to get off the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
It's not, we don't want them to stop being, doing what they love, but we want them to focus on their own self-care, because those three things I mentioned are really lacking. And if you look at female physician suicide rate, it's 350 to 400% above the regular population. There's a problem. And so I really want to get involved and help. And when I read your story and everything you're doing, you know, my story is obviously very different than yours, but it's that wanting to really help people. Have you worked with physicians and you know, kind of healthcare providers? It's broke. They are broken.
I know. And so I built my business based on life experience, as I mentioned. So I tend to focus on what I do know. I was a sales executive for so many years, so I immediately jump into that realm. Physicians, when you talk about overworked, lots of hours, huge amounts of stress, the system, there's so many things. Now, can I coach physicians? Of course I can. But can I relate? Not at the level I can with sales executives per se, but you're so right. The mental health issues in that arena, it exists for attorneys as well. That's not if you talk about the legal profession, lots of really burnt out attorneys, doctors, in my case, sales executives. And yeah, wearing the cape is,
yes,
I call it that, but it's creating this picture that everything does look good on the outside. I was that person for a long time. I, even during my triathlon days, which weren't that long ago, but I was not taking care of myself the way I preached. I was not living to what I, so I obviously needed to make changes, which I did. But yeah, that's the thing. And I talk about this concern with physicians and other executives. There's this high functioning danger zone that I refer to. That's my, and it's the moment from when you say you need help or you think you need help to the actual point you do something about it.
Yes.
For mine was nine months. Wow. That's way too long. Now, for high functioning executives or professionals, they're not going to do it the moment. They're not going to seek help just the moment they do it. But geez, you don't need to wait 9 months, because a lot of damage, a lot of harm can be done, not only to yourself, to others. It can be very hurtful. And then it could be catastrophic too, right? It could be damage to others and accident, the things that we read about. We don't want those to happen. So I'm trying to minimize that gap. I'm trying to get high functioning executives to put their ego at the door for a minute and say, I'm struggling. I need help. I really don't know who to talk to. That was me. I didn't. So I'm a person that they can talk to now. And you are a person. I get that. But a lot of people don't know who to talk to. I did not know until my friend, one of my best friends, you know, he gave me the 800 number to Hazelden, and that was my next step. And I'm so grateful that he did it. But, you know, I want to minimize that gap. That high functioning danger zone is so, talk about suicide. That's when it happens. That's when it happens. And I get emotional about it, because if we were to get help when we decided that we need it, those rates would be much less than they are.
For sure.
But we wait and we let trauma, we let shame build on us, and then we cash in our chips. Sometimes it's too late, and I hate to hear that. So
it's okay not to be okay.
It is.
And that's what I'm hearing
from
you.
It is strong.
And really, if anybody, I mean, whoever's watching this, really, it really is okay not to be okay. Reach out for help. It can get really bad.
And I think especially for high performing executives of any profession,
yes,
mm-hmm, that it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
To be
really
human.
Yeah.
And I was told as a young executive to be careful, and never thought it would happen to me, to surround myself with the things that are destructive,
yeah,
with that cape on. And I remember my uncle telling me, just be careful. The air is very thin up there.
That's great advice.
And so it's hard to breathe. I get emotional.
I remember, because it hits home.
I just had my wife kick my ass. So
yeah,
I didn't get a friend with 800 number. So, I got a big threat that changed my life. So.
I'm also very adamant about, you know, as executives, as leaders, we all have the responsibility to recognize that trajectory we have people that work for us, right? We know when things aren't right. And it's okay as a leader to step in and give a
100%.
Nudge. Are you all right? Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, if it's okay if you're not, and I'm here. But I want to educate leaders. And this is what I talk about all the time in my speeches. As a leader, I wish I had someone nudge me on the shoulder when I was 30 years old and say, Kenny, you need to get it together, buddy. This ain't going to last. I didn't. And it didn't last. Thankfully, I was able to before anything catastrophic happened, but my health diminished, and I'm grateful that I'm healthy now. But this is the message to leaders, is to make sure you're keeping an eye out. It's not, you don't need to be a doctor or a therapist or a counselor or anybody. You need to be a leader, and you know when someone's losing their edge, and it's typically something bad behind the scenes. So,
Leah, you deal with this a lot as well.
Oh, 100% of the time. So a big role that I do is I'm coaching executives through that space. And what you're really defining is the difference between high functioning and high performing. And getting into a space of high performance without being high functioning and being healthy and whole and well. When I look at that space, I'm looking at all of the different layers of that maintenance that goes into actually maintaining ourselves in a way that we can be at our peak performance, but also understanding the value and the importance of boundaries. So I would really love for you to share, what do you see as the big difference between where is that crack going from high performance into high functioning?
Right. And I think it starts with that key word, it's boundaries. Now, the first thing that I do when I work with my executives is I never want to tell or ask a high achiever client of mine to take their foot off the gas. That won't work. These people, we want to be successful. But we have to set boundaries. And that's not taking your foot off the gas. That's actually being smart about your business.
Yeah.
Knowing when you're moving too fast or grinding a little bit too hard, or when listening to your body, rest, the simple things that we take for granted when we're younger, who needs rest? We can go days at a time. No, you can't. You need to rest your body. We need to exercise. We need to walk. We need to eat healthy, stay hydrated, the simple things. But there's a lot of things that people don't do. But I think the bigger things, no one wants boundaries. When you're trying to put aside these egos, and I'm sure you deal with it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. I don't need it. Yes, you do. Because I was the same person. And that's the only reason I say it with confidence, is I told everybody, no, I don't need that. I don't need this help. But when I finally got help or got direction, even mentoring, it was such a step in the right direction for my own well-being, because that's what help is for. I've always had a coach. I'll always have one. Now that I am one, I still will always have one, because I'm always trying to better myself. But, you know, again, it's okay not to be okay. And that message, you know, especially for,
yes,
again, the people that we're talking about, they don't want to admit to it. Well, I say it's a new sign of strength, to show courage, to show that I'm asking for help. And I do recover loudly as well. My health was a major issue, not only with my struggle with alcohol, but my recent battle with cancer. I was outspoken about it to the point where, you know, I just don't care. I want others to benefit from the fact that, you know, I did early detection. I picked up my cancer before it was too bad. We rectified the situation and I'm great and healthy, but I asked questions, I sought help, and what a difference it makes. And
learning,
we know
how
that
to advocate for yourself is such a huge,
yes,
problem too.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Being the CEO of your own health is
that's my motto.
Being the CEO of your own health, and people just turn over
most
their
important
sovereignty.
Meeting of the day, whether it's a walk or a run, yeah, or
non-negotiable.
Non-negotiables, exactly.
Non-negotiables.
I think as we finish up to, you know, just understanding, and as a doctor, you know, the human experience as bookends, the time your heart starts till the time the heart stops. And God tells you how to keep your heart beating. He says, if you don't breathe, your heart will stop. If you don't drink, your heart will stop. If you don't eat, your heart will stop. If you don't move, your heart will stop. And if you don't sleep, your heart will stop. So when people come to me for that kind of help and they all have the same question, well, where do I get started? I said, why not start with what God tells you most important for a human experience, which is taking care of your heart beating. And so let's learn how to breathe, eat, drink, sleep, especially important to me, and move. And I see where you started, like I, and it took about 6 years of warnings from the people that love me the most. And one of the dangers, as well, as we finish up, Kenny, because I know you experienced this, is the people who love you the most will be the ones that you tell to F off.
Right.
You know, I sat on my bed when I...
My family.
Right. It was my mom, my dad, my best friend, and my wife that I hated. Millions of people love me.
Yeah.
Right? Supposedly love me. And I had the four people that actually cared about me.
Those are the ones.
And that's when I decided I must hate myself. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't hate my mom, my dad, my best friend, or my wife because they were telling me the truth that my mom would say, I'm lost. My wife,
they had to put themselves in, you know, I'm so grateful for people in my life stepping up and doing, you know,
telling
I needed
truth.
It. And now truth. I do it for others, but telling me the truth, the honest truth, not the sugarcoating version, not the, you know, let's see how this goes for the next couple of weeks or days or whatever. It's the people are like, no, we're going to get you back to where you need to be. We're going to do that now.
I think that's why it is so important to find coaches like yourself because they will tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to tell ourselves the truth. And that's, you know, my field, you know, in health, you're lying to. That's why I always start a lot of my talks with who here is healthy. People put their hands up and by kind of the end, there's not any. And you're like, okay, I'm not healthy. Let me give you a call.
Oh yeah. That's a great lie. Yeah. Be the CEO of your own life, your own health and your development thereof. It takes great coaches like Kenny Stoddart who has walked the walk and still does for other people as well, holding their hand, walking beside them with words of wisdom and encouragement and faith. It'll shorten the distance of resistance that we create for ourselves. Kenny, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm honored.
Amazing.
What an exceptional guest here on Office Hours. Fantastic.